I believe. That is one of the most important statements that a Christian can make. It is personal, I. It is affirmative, believe. But of course, it's missing something important. We have the pronoun, we have the verb, but we're missing the object. You believe what? You believe in whom? Furthermore, if someone were to ask you to describe and defend what you believe, are you ready to do that? We regularly declare what we say we believe, as we have just done through the use of the Ancient Apostles' Creed in our services. And as you know, for the month of August, we have been reviewing some of the closing statements in the Apostles' Creed, because that part of the Creed can be a roadblock for some people. So far, we've dealt with the Holy Ghost. We've dealt with the Holy Catholic Church. And today we come to the phrase, I believe in the communion of saints. Now, if you were pressed to explain what that means to someone who is curious, what would you say you believe? Some people, believe it or not, would say what it means is that those who have been sainted by the Roman Catholic Church have gathered around the Lord's table to have communion together. Of course, that's not what it means. But some people actually believe that's what it means. They believe it came from the Roman Catholic Church, and that's what it means, and it's not for us. Here's what it really means. The first definition in the dictionary of the word communion is this: the act of sharing. And if you keep reading, you will read about sharing possessions, sharing thoughts, sharing emotions, and sharing understanding. And if you keep reading further in the dictionary, it says this: a communion, this is lowercase c, a communion is a group of Christians professing the same faith and practicing the same rites. In other words, it has little to do with the sacrament of Holy Communion or the Eucharist. It is all about your sharing your Christian life with other believers. Do you do that? Do you share your Christian life with other believers? Or do you just go home after the service and hide? I've known people like that. If you say that you believe in communion with your fellow believers, you're saying that you believe in Christian fellowship. Fellowship with one another. And that's why we do some things together sometimes, such as going to lunch together. Some people do that. Going to an indoor picnic next week. Going to Sight and Sound together and riding the bus together. Praying for one another. Seeking to help one another and do things for one another. To be in communion, to be in fellowship with one another, is far more than driving to Turf Valley on Sundays. Now, in the Bible, it's summarized by one Greek word, and that word is koinonia. And that word appears 19 times in the New Testament. 12 of those times, it's translated with the word fellowship. I hear an angel harp. Do you hear an angel harp? An angel harp comes, yeah. The angels are here. I know whose it is. I'm not going to say. 12 of those times, the word koinonia is translated fellowship. 3 of those times, the word is translated sharing. 2 of those times, it is translated participation. And 2 of those times, it is translated contribution. So koinonia, the Greek word koinonia, is fellowship, sharing, participating, and contributing. And the first occurrence of that word is found in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, which we talked about last week. It says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to koinonia, fellowship. Now, if you believe in this kind of communion, the kind of communion that you believe in is having fellowship with one another, sharing with one another, participating with one another, and contributing to one another. How much do you do that? You profess that you believe in that every time you say it in the Apostles' Creed. But my question to me, my question to you is, do we do it? Of course, we profess a lot of things in this creed. Most of them are about the Trinity. I believe in God the Father. I believe in God the Son. I believe in God the Holy Ghost. I believe in the church. I believe in forgiveness of sins, etc., etc. However, this is the only time in the creed that you profess that you believe in something that requires action on your part. Not just faith, but commitment, action, sharing, participating, contributing. Koinonia. It's convicting, isn't it? Shining a light on my faith in God is very different than shining a light on my response to what God calls me to be and do. Question, do you know how to eat an egg without cracking the shell? It's simple. Just have somebody else crack it for you. Now, apply that to koinonia. Do you know how to enjoy the blessings of Christian fellowship without having responsibilities? Just assume that somebody else will do whatever needs to be done. Let them crack the egg for you. Let somebody else do the sharing. Let somebody else do the participating. Let somebody else do the contributing. I've shared this story before. The communion of saints is like a flock of migrating geese. And we're going to be hearing about that pretty soon, aren't we? The days are coming, we'll be hearing them flying overhead, and we'll go out and we'll watch these massive formations of them. They always fly in a V formation. Why? Scientists have discovered why. They tell us that each bird flaps its wings, and as it does that, it creates an uplift for the bird that's immediately behind him in the formation. And the further back you are in the V formation, the easier it is to fly. We need to flap our wings for one another. Also, by flying in a V formation, that flock of geese can go 71% further than they would have if they had tried to do it alone. We need to get in step with one another so that we can go further than any one person in here can go by himself or herself. And whenever one goose falls out of the formation, it suddenly feels a drag and a resistance in trying to go it alone. So it quickly gets back into the formation to take advantage of the aerodynamics that are going on. So, you need to be here. You need to get into formation. You need to stay connected. And you need to move together in that same direction. When the lead goose who's in the position of working the hardest, gets tired. The lead goose rotates back to the back of the V where the flying is the easiest. And another goose moves into the lead point. If we are going to be a communion of saints, everyone needs to be willing to take some responsibility for leadership. We need to take turns doing the hard jobs. By the way, why do those geese honk so much? They are encouraging one another. They are encouraging the ones up front where it's harder to keep going, keep flying, reach the goal. We need to honk at each other more. Not in criticism, but in encouragement. If one of the geese gets sick, it immediately falls out of the formation and goes to the ground. And this is rather remarkable. Two other geese will also leave the formation and go to the ground with that one goose and stay with that goose until it is well or until it dies. That's koinonia. I'm going to embarrass some people right now because I'm going to talk about some of you. Steve and Alice Bowen. Steve and Alice went to the home of Patty Lipa, fell out of formation, and Patty was telling them of the very strenuous time she was having with the house they're trying to sell because of some contractor nightmares. I needed some new carpet, paint decisions, and Stephen and Alice stepped in and went to the stores and shopped and picked out some carpet, having it installed and paint. That's koinonia. That's sharing. That's contributing. Diane Wims also went to Patty. And Diane, I believe, yesterday actually picked up a prescription for her because Patty can't drive and took it over to her house. That's koinonia. And Diane made all those cards out there on that table today of all the people that are shut-ins that would be here if they could. Did you realize we had that many shut-ins? Seeing that array of cards, it was helpful. So she wanted everyone to sign it. That's koinonia. Every one of you can honk that way. You can encourage that way. Susan Nally. Susan volunteered to go help, as did Diane, to go help Patty and Bob unpack those boxes that are still in their two-bedroom apartment that they can hardly walk around because they can't unpack them. Now, she wasn't able to get there, I think, because of Patty's doctor appointments. But she was at the doctor. She told me that you had offered. That's koinonia. We talked about it last week, and two people said, I can do that. And they did it. That's sharing, that's participating, that's contributing, that is koinonia. And so you see what we have to do if we're going to be a communion of saints in which we say we believe, we have to be as smart as a bunch of geese. So every time you see those V formations this fall flying over your neighborhood, said, thank you, God, for reminding me what it means to be in the body of Christ. I believe in the communion of saints. What about the word saints? Now, we talked about that last week. As a reminder, I'm not talking about statues or icons in Rome. I'm talking about you. You are a saint. I'm also talking about the other folks sitting around you. They are also saints. And the Old Testament, the word saint referred to a Jew who loved God deeply and who were set apart to be holy unto Him. Do you love God? Have you been set apart by God? Then you are a saint. But in the New Testament, the word saint means any Christian, dead or alive, and you're one or the other. You're a saint. God is not the one who took the word saint and used it to exalt some people as if they were better than others. That kind of sainthood is found in the Anglican Church. It is found in Hinduism. It is found in the Roman Catholic Church. It is found among some Lutheran denominations and in other religions. It's also found in New Orleans in a football team. But some faiths have gone even further than that by saying that we should pray to some of the saints because they believe that those dead saints talk directly to God, and therefore we should pray to them because He might listen to them in a way that He doesn't listen to you. No. That's calling the saints intercessors. There is only one intercessor, and that is Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. He is your one and only intercessor. We do not pray to saints for heaven's sakes. We are the saints. You're not a saint because you worked to become one. You're not a saint because you're a good person. You're not a saint because you come to church. You're a saint because God said you're a saint. Simply stated, a saint is any person who is in Christ and in whom Christ dwells. You are a saint because you are in the process of sanctification. When you are fully sanctified, you're going to be pure and holy and free from sin. That ain't happened yet. You're still in the process of becoming sanctified. All of us are. And we're also in the living process of being a communion of saints. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 27. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is part of it. Do you believe that? That is what you say you believe. When you say, I believe in the communion of saints. Now, even though we talked about the church last week, we're going to talk about it a little bit more today. After all, a communion of saints is a church body. And those two phrases flow in the Apostles' Creed. I believe in the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints. They flow together. That's great. But as we know, every communion of saints needs help. One of the great flaws of the church, in my view, is that so many church people get excited about church work, but not so much excited about the work of the church. And there is a difference. You and I both have experienced other churches. One of the things that I have found is common in many churches is that they love to define the life of their church by how full the church calendar is. How sad. Where is the church? The communion of saints. On Monday morning. On Tuesday afternoon. On Friday evening. I'll tell you where they are. The church is in the dentist office. The church is in a bunch of trucks out on the highway driving. The church is in the car repair shop. The church is in hospitals and classrooms and in the kitchen. The church is in restaurants, enjoying a meal together. The church is in office buildings with lawyers and realtors and investors and insurance salesmen. The church is on the battlefield across the ocean defending our nation. The church is everywhere that God is. The church is everywhere that Christians are. Billy Graham said this. I'll bet you know about this one. He said, churchgoers are like coals of fire. When they cling together, they keep the flame glowing. But when they separate, they die out. Here's another familiar confession. The church is a gathering of hypocrites. And some hypocrites refuse to participate in the church because it's full of hypocrites. Duh. And here are two things to avoid in any communion of saints: a cold heart and a hot head. If you have a cold heart, I invite you to come here and receive inspiration from God, and let's warm up that heart of yours. If you have a hot head, I invite you to come here, repent, and let us cool it down a bit. Otherwise, you are free to go to another church and do your damage. Now, someone to find a communion of saints is people who go to church early on Sundays so that they can fight for a seat on the back row. Someone else said, oh, the church then goes to the sports stadium on Sunday afternoon so they can fight for a seat on the front row. Yes, you and I both believe in the holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints. And we all want to share. We all want to participate. We all want to contribute. But sometimes that fire in our belly for the church gets dim. It needs a little care. Sometimes we just don't want to be with the saints. We'd rather stay home. All of us feel that way sometimes. You may remember this story that I told years ago also. One Sunday morning, a wife got all dressed up for church, and then she noticed that her husband had not lifted a finger to get dressed. And she said, why aren't you getting dressed, honey? And he said, because I don't want to go. She was surprised because they always went to the worship service together. And she asked, why not, honey? And he didn't give her one reason. He gave her three reasons why he didn't want to go. He said, the first reason is that the congregation is so cold. The second reason is that I feel like nobody there likes me. And the third reason is I just don't want to go. And so his wife, full of patience and wisdom, turned to him and said, sweetheart, I'm going to give you three reasons why you should go. The congregation is not really cold. You just have to get to know them. Secondly, there are people in the congregation who don't like you very much. But thirdly, you're the pastor. Get dressed. I believe in the universal church set apart to honor God. I believe in God's saints, koinonia, in fellowship with one another, and especially in fellowship with God Himself. I believe that God's saints will someday be fully sanctified and stand before the throne of God together singing His glory. Can't wait. And I believe that will be heaven. That will be heaven. There will be fellowship. There will be sharing. There will be participation. And every one of us will fully contribute to the praise and the adoration that will naturally flow from our hearts as we stand before our Creator. I believe. Do you? Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are your church, and thank you for giving us that privilege, that honor of bearing the name of your Son. And Father, we do want to share and participate and contribute and love the way you have called us to do. And Father, I pray that as we thank you for the blessings that overflow in this fellowship here, that they will increase by your grace, your generosity, your hand, and that we will be a light to this community and this nation because of what you do to us and what you do through us. I pray these things in the name of Jesus, our inspiration, our source, our Savior and our Lord. Amen.